All right. What's up, guys? Welcome to the Organic Guy podcast. I am your host, the Organic Guy. You are right on time. You are on the right place. This is your weekly segment of Organic V, where we get to dissect through some of the week's topics, where we really get to sit down and try to go through some of the topics that have been brought up during the week, or some of the topics that I've seen trend around or being talked about throughout the week. And you know, we get to dissect them and get to discuss around them and see what is the solution, what are some of the suggestions that are being made out there. And this week's conversation is about organic certification, right? And this week I've come, at least I've been involved in a conversation that people are asking, is organic certification doing enough? Is it going far enough to help us get out of some of the problems that we are involved in? And this conversation is all about trying to get answers to those questions, right? And before we get even into it, I would like to get your opinion, right? To get your thoughts about it, right? Do you think that organic certification is doing enough to help us get out of the crisis, for example, the climate crisis, the current economic crisis that we're going through, the current health crisis? Is organic doing enough? Let me know in the comments even before we go further. But before we even dive deep in this kind of conversation, we'd like to know, right, how did we get here? How did we get to the situation where we got to want to have a certification in the first place, right? We have to remember that certification, not something someone came up with, is what the market demanded for. And the market is me and you as consumers, right? Wanting something that we can easily recognize. And we have to go back really in the 1920s, where we have the organic movement coming up and trying to express themselves and trying to form an alternative to what was quickly becoming really a conventional system. Right. And we have to remember this is during the war, 1920s. People have gone to the war, come back. There's a lot of chemicals to be used. And a lot of soil chemists come out and say, you know what? We think that the best farming method moving forward, we have just to give the soil the macronutrients that it needs for us to grow crops. Right. And those macronutrients are nitrogen, potassium, and phosphorus. Or we really need to offer the soil this kind of macronutrients, and we grow our stuff, and then we can feed the world, right? And from a rational point of view, that's a good point to make. But there were scientists who were disagreeing with that kind of notion, who believed that the soil was sort of this living entity where it was all encompasses. There were living organisms in the soil. So soil wasn't just dirt where you needed to give it macronutrients, but it was a living entity and we needed to consider it so. And when you look at some of the writings of the founders of the organic movement, Albert Howard being one of them, and really drove this point home that we have to see soil as a living entity. And as a result, actually, we see people from cities, right, feel that the food that they were getting from industrial model were not quite tasty enough. And we see these people from cities really trying to arrange themselves, trying to organize with farmers so that they can directly receive these particular food items directly from farmers without going through the industrial model. So we see people, for example, documented in New York, people coming together to find farmers who were nearby who are growing food so that they can be able to deliver this particular food to them in city living areas. And this did continue for quite a while. And as you know, right now, cities are rapidly growing, where about 50% of the global population is living in cities. And it's not quite an understatement to say that it is not feasible for all people who are being in city areas really to form some connection with farmers so that they can be able to supply them. Right. And right now, for everybody to have a contact with farmer, that is really, really difficult to form even a personal connection with every single farmer who will be able to supply your food makes life a little bit difficult. And that's why we have supply chains, for example, in supermarkets where you can walk in and be able to shop everything you want and get out. But even the early days, we can see consumers trying to find ways how they can form trust with farmers so that they can have access to this food that they believed was better than what was being offered from an industrial food model. It's very interesting when you read that history, because at that point of time, consumers were aware. They could notice the difference, right? And they could say, you know what, I think the food that I'm eating from an industrial model is not quite the same. And consumers decided to revolt and try to form those consumer connections with local farmers. But nowadays, actually, it's people don't even notice the difference. All right. Nowadays, it's even a controversy to say that organic food does taste different from the conventional food. I believe our taste buds have really, really been washed by the industrial food, that we cannot even taste it different from the organic food, which is really, really quite sad, to be honest. But even in the 1920s, people were trying to find solutions, were trying to find ways they can form connections with farmers. They can be able to ensure that the food they are getting are actually organic, or they were healthy, or they were grown according to how they wanted to be grown. And we saw this developed, and how the organic movement grew throughout the 1970s, 80s, and 90s, up into the early 2000s, where in the United States, the official label was for the organic movement was passed by Congress. So, and it was officially recognized by the government that organic was regulated, very well regulated, and it was now a well-known sector and very well documented, where farmers could now easily recognize the organic label moving forward. And we have seen some great success throughout these history years, right? Right now we can say that organic is over 180 countries worldwide and territories, and we have over 80 countries having organic legislation. That is massive achievement as well. We have over 3 million organic, certified organic producers worldwide, and over 70 million certified organic land worldwide, right? And as you can see, those statistics, those are numbers that you can be able to put your fingers on, right? And that is as a result of certification. Certification helps us to put things into perspective and helps us to really measure things, right? And in one way or another, if you are actually looking for a very successful model that has been able to give assurance to farmers, then organic certification has to be one of those models that you can be able to look at and say, hey, what did these guys do that has been able to be recognized and has grown rapidly as it has used? But despite those numbers, despite the growth that we've seen from the early 1900s up to now, clearly some people feel that the organic certification doesn't go far enough, all right? And one way or another, that's why we have seen new movements form out or break out from the organic movement. So we have, for example, the United States, the Conkeeper Institute, which try to rate different organic farmers on how well they are doing, or how well they are really encompassing different organic practices in their farm. So you can easily argue also that the permaculture movement was as a result of a revolt from the organic movement as well. Biodynamic, and now we have the regenerative movement really trying to sort of raise the bar, if you may, because some of them feel that the organic certification is not doing enough. And if you look at some of the criticism, really, the organic movement or the organic certification really has, is that some say that organic certification is expensive, right? That farmers struggle a lot. They, pay a lot for them to be certified, and they feel that shouldn't be the case. I mean, technically that shouldn't be the case, but in a marketplace that is so competitive, you have to go an extra high really to be able to differentiate yourself from other players in the market. And if you really look into it in the long-term perspective, farmers really don't pay that cost. I mean, they paid upfront, but in the end, as an organic consumer, I am going to pay for that cost of transition, because remember, an organic product have a premium in them. So in the end, in one way or another, I'm going to pay for that farmer for their transition, right? So one of the criticism of the organic certification is that it's expensive, but as you can see, really, if you break it down and if you look at it in the long term, it's not, because all that cost will be transferred to me as a consumer. The second criticism of organic certification is that it takes time. Well, arguably also you can argue everything usually takes time. On average, for you to be certified organic farmer, you have to go through a 3-year transition. And that's all about protecting the consumer. And that is what a label is supposed to do, to protect the consumer. So to make sure that maybe some of the harsh chemicals that have been used in the soil have been actually degraded a little bit further. Not all of it has been degraded, but at least most of it has been degraded, so that the consumer can get actually what they think that particular brand represents. There is also criticism of organic certification that it locks out some organic farmers. Some farmers who want to transition to organic not being able to fully transition to organic. That's also a fair criticism, right? So if you want to transition immediately to organic, then you have to wait. You can't do that immediately. And arguably, there are some farmers who follow a lot of organic practices and organic standards, but for one way or another, they do not want to pursue an organic certification. And that goes back to personal choice, right? Nobody is forcing anyone to convert into organic or to be actually organic certified. It also goes deep down to personal conviction, to I really want to do this. And we see some farmers opt out not to, but maybe there are farmers who want to opt into organic certification, but they can't because there is a fear that that organic certification leaves other farmers out. Well, I haven't met a lot of farmers who say that, but maybe they are. And that's one of the criticisms anyway that organic certification usually receives. And the other criticism is about organic not doing enough, all right? This is one of those criticisms I also get where they're coming from, but also it doesn't make sense. We have to remember that the reason why we have organic certification, we have organic standard and rules, they are supposed to give us a guidance, okay? They're not supposed to micromanage us and tell the farmer this is what you have to do every single in that corner, this is what you have to plant, you have to use this kind of species. That is not the aim of an organic standard. Organic standard is supposed to lay out the rules of the game. It's supposed to lay out the principles and the values that are to be followed by different players in that movement. It's not supposed to give you an exact way on how you should be able to grow your crops, on which species you should use. It's supposed to give you an overlay, follow the rules, so that different farmers in the same country know what kind of rules that are laid out. How you play around those rules is up to you, depending on your farm, depending on your climate, depending on your soil, right? And in some way or form, this is why I love organic, right? It's sort of decentralized, right? So all we have is principles, and we all know principles are timeless. They're applied everywhere. But how you apply these principles is what makes the difference. And this is what I love about organic. And this is what is different from other sectors. If you look for the conventional sector, for example, in the European Union, they do recommend that the average amount of nitrogen that a farmer should use is around 80 kilograms per hectare, right? This same amount is the same amount that has been transferred. For example, in my country, Kenya, on average, farmers also tend to use 80 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen, and sometimes more and sometimes less, depending on the availability. So there is this notion of one size fits all, and it doesn't always work. Same to the GMO movement. So the fact that they think a BT cotton that is being grown in the United States will go on to perform well in the tropics, for example, in Kenya. It just doesn't make sense. And this is the beauty about organic. It just gives you an overview. It gives you the principles. And then how you apply it is up to you. And then you can localize it. And you can, you know, fungible it. You can use it according how your climate is. And according how your soils are. And according how your farmers are. But as long as you are adhering to the principles that are laid out, that's the beauty of it. So the fact that organic doesn't go enough is not really a fair criticism. And it's unfortunate that when people Google the word organic farming, what comes at the top of that is organic farming is a farming system that doesn't use synthetic fertilizers and pesticides. But in reality, a lot of farmers go beyond that. Okay. A lot of farmers do more than using synthetic pesticides and fertilizers. Organic farmers are working very hard to ensure that their soils are in a healthy condition. A lot of farmers are working very hard to ensure that their ecosystem is in great shape. Okay, a lot of farmers are working out to ensure that there is fairness to their workers. There is fairness on how they price their produce into the market. They're working very hard to ensure that they care for their livestock and for their animals in their field. Right? All I just did there actually is just listing the principle of the organic movement. Okay, that's all I just did. So it's not fair to say that organic doesn't do enough. Maybe you have visited a farmer that you feel doesn't do enough. But in general, a lot of farmers really work very hard to make sure that they do more than just following the rules. And in fact, I assure you, you cannot survive in organic farming by just doing the bare minimum of what's required. All right. You cannot survive in organic by just ticking the box. All right. So if it's this season, I just need to rotate my legume and my cereals and my tubers and that. You cannot survive in organic by doing that. You have to have the heart. You have to have the motivation to be involved, because one season it might fail. One season you might be attacked by a pest or a disease, and then everything goes into waste. So what are you going to do? If you're really not convinced about organic, you are likely to drop out. Right. So for me, this, I think it's a fair criticism, but I think people, a lot of people hold into it. But by my concern, it's not a fair criticism. A lot of farmers do more than what's required. It just doesn't receive a lot of, press and a lot of conversation around it on what actually organic farmers do more than not using a lot of pesticides and diseases. Right. And, it's quite frustrating, because if you visit a lot of farmers, you'll just learn this. Okay. You'll see that all these things that are being accused of, they are actually doing more than what is required. So those are some of the criticism I came across of why organic might not be doing enough. So if you have some few extra reasons as to why you think the organic movement doesn't do enough, let me know in the comments as well. But for me and my, for me, why do I even consider organic? I mean, I have to go at it. What's even the purpose of organic? For me, when I see an organic label in the supermarket, what that communicates to me is that there is an organic farmer out there. There is a person out there. There is a company out there that believes in the same values that I do. All right, that is it. Every single time I see an organic label in a product, that is what immediately it communicates to myself. All right, I see there is an organic farmer, for example, who really is working very, very hard to make sure that the soils are in a healthy shape. I see there is an organic farmer working very hard not to use any synthetic chemicals and fertilizers and pesticides. I see there is an organic farmer working very hard to ensure that their biodiversity is rich and is enormous and is vibrant. I see an organic farmer is really working hard to ensure that their livestock are in healthy and they are allowed to mimic nature. That is what I see in that label. I just don't see a sticker. I see a set of principles. I see a set of practices that I relate with. That if I was in a farm, I will be doing those principles. That is exactly what that communicates to me. And it's a pity that really a lot of consumers don't see this as well. But if you look at all other brands and if you look at all other certification, that is the point. That's the point that they're trying to lay out there. But for me, when I look at it, for me, the whole purpose of organic certification is to do exactly that. And maybe it might mean something different to you. That's all up to you. But for me personally, that is what normally comes out every single time that I see such a kind of organic certification. Maybe, you know, before we even close out, I also like to know, what does it actually represent? When you see an organic label, what do you see? All right. What does it represent? What does it say to that particular product? I'd also like to know. Make sure you put in the comments. And just to remind you, before we finish it off, just to remind you on why certification is important, right? Just to give you a reminder. So, first of all, certification is important because it helps transform money straight to farmers, all right? So, every single time you buy a certified organic product, that makes sure that in one way or another, you are sending a signal to the farmer that I like your products and I would like you to continue growing your products because the first time or when you produced them last, someone bought it and they bought it maybe at a premium price, and that price usually goes direct to the farmer. That is one thing. Okay, that's the importance of buying actually certified organic, because you are very much assured that the produce you have bought was in one way or another contributed by an organic farmer somewhere across the world, right? And then number two, of course, you are assured that there were no synthetic pesticides and fertilizers used. We do know how harmful these pesticides are. We do know that on average over 20,000 people die, this is according to the UN, from the use of synthetic pesticides and fertilizers. From the use of synthetic pesticides, okay, 20,000 die from using pesticides. That is a staggering number, ladies and gentlemen, right? And if you want to avoid all those stuff, then the best way to do that is actually to buy organic, okay? I'm just listing you some of the reasons why you should consider certified organic. Number three, of course, is you are assured to avoid GMOs, right? It's very clear that the science does not know the long-term effect of consuming genetically modified organisms. So you do not want to be in that group. You don't want to be in that experiment. You want to ensure that everything that you're eating is of great quality. And with organic, you are assured that, yes, the product that I'm eating actually doesn't have GMOs. And if you care about the planet, of course, organic does great things about the environment as well. So organic farmers, we do know they do like to use integrated pest management or using the harmful pesticides that I mentioned before. We do know that biodiversity is great for the environment. We do know that farmers are working very hard to ensure that they're conserving the native ecosystems that they are doing. And all these things lead into creating a self enriching system. And as a result, you know, it's great, works great for the environment as well. We do know that works very well also for the climate change. A research, for example, from Rodell Institute demonstrated that an organic production, we can remove over 7,000 pounds of CO2 from the air, all right, each year through carbon sequestration. Great, great point why, if you really care about the climate change, the reason why you should consider organic, right? And the other things about the value that you are paying for, right? We do know that a lot of the products that we buy, their prices are probably not the right prices because of the externalities that are involved in producing those kind of products. Organic does help put that cost into perspective. Why? Because organic food systems are grown in a way that does not hamper our environment. And that price is very much baked into the products that you buy. So there are so many reasons why you should actually continue to buying organic moving forward. And I hope this particular conversation gave you a little bit of shade on why actually organic certification is super, super important, especially moving forward. Here's the point. If you are really, 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 really looking for one particular certification label, okay, if I was to sit down and come up with a certification label that I don't have to go into looking every single certification, I don't have to go to look for GMO verified, I don't want to go and look for glyphosate verified, I don't want to go and look for fair trade, I don't want to go and look for biodiversity stuff, I don't want to go and look for free range. If there is that one certification that you're looking for, then organic certified is that certification. You don't have to look for all these other labels. All those labels are actually in one. What these labels have done is just they've taken one principles of organic and they've branded it and they've packaged it and they've sold it to you to really put it forward that this label is for you, right? So for example, if we start with fair trade, we do know that one of the organic principles is about fairness, okay? And when an organic farm is producing its produce, one of the key things is that their farmers are the producers and the workers in an organic farm are actually paid fairly, fair wages. And how do you know this? Because if someone is not well paid, they can quit and go work somewhere else. So it's a guarantee that these farmers or the people who are working in that particular field are actually paid a fair wage and they are paid very well. So all this certification, in my opinion, these are all certification based on one principle of the organic movement. And if you're really, really looking for that one certification to ease all your fears, that certification has to be organic. If we're sitting down and coming up with a certification that captures all these things that a lot of people put into mind, or whether it's about carbon, you know, we've just seen that organic can drop to 7,000 pounds of carbon from the atmosphere, then it has to be organic. So that's why I'm making the case for organic certification. And actually moving forward, more than ever, now is the best time to choose organic moving forward. So ladies and gentlemen, till the next time, remember to be organic, and of course, continue sharing this particular conversation with people that you think might be interested in this kind of conversation moving forward. So, ladies and gentlemen, till next time, remember to be organic.